I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth.
It's JT with some very exciting news. Starting Sunday, March 12th, we will be live streaming for Parajunkies. This means many of the episodes and Parajunkie exclusives will be streamed via a private link that'll be available in Patreon. We're excited to try this out, and if you aren't a Parajunkie yet, we hope you make the decision to join our family.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And today we are back with another episode of Ghost Mail.
Boo-boo-doo-boo-boo. Woo-woo!
Ghost Mail.
We've got Ghost Mail. All right, before we do, I want to thank a couple patrons, a couple of the new patrons. Yeah. All right, so I'd like to thank Dolce Maria, Alexandra Lynch, and Frankie Westbury. Thank y'all so much for becoming Parajunkies, and we are super excited for Parajunkie Day. Also, go ahead and like, subscribe, share this podcast with everyone you know who you think would like it, because, you know, we're just constantly wanting to grow our audience. Y'all have any announcements before we jump right into it?
I don't have much, but I am going to be selling my witchy jewelry online now. I've got countrywitchco.com officially up and running. So I make spell jars for all the things, protection, wealth attraction, which, I mean, all of us need a little of that nowadays, but also self-love, anti-anxiety, all the good things. So if you are interested in spell jar type jewelry, go ahead and head over there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And kind of off the subject, but Madison and I are getting two new chickens, Silky.
Nice. Oh, yes. We're growing the coven. So if you watch the TikTok live streams that I do, I've talked about the coven. We have three chickens. They are all witches.
Nice.
So we're adding to them.
Witchy eggs.
Yes, the witchy eggs.
Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, we're getting Silkies, and join our Patreon to see chicken updates. Okay.
Yes.
All right, here we go. So the first one is from Parajunkie, the original Paramutant. And he sent it via Patreon and said, ghost mail for y'all. I'll preface that work in trusted position in public safety and... Okay, I'll preface that I work in a trusted position in public safety and I frequently encounter unusual situations. It's taken me some time to unpack what I've experienced, but I will share the first time I can remember it happening. In June of 1994, my then fiance and I had just returned home from a restaurant. There was an increased presence of police and helicopters flying around our apartment complex. This wasn't unusual. There was an open field that would be commonly used as a landing zone for medical evacuations. As we were settling in for the rest of the evening, I noticed flashlights shining into our windows and balcony. We lived on the third floor, so went to investigate. I opened the balcony door and was curtly greeted with a stern voice. "Sir, go back into your home and stay away from your windows," to which I complied. I decided to turn on the TV and see if there was any breaking news. Living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., violent crime usually opens the broadcast. The only news was a woman that was shot and killed at a gas station in Woodbridge, Virginia. I turned off the TV and went to sleep. I had a dream that night. My friend Angelica was in it. It was very placid. I got the feeling of gratitude and kindness and then abruptly woke up. It was surreal. I felt like she was saying goodbye. The next morning, I woke up and went about my day. I returned home, turned on the news, and they had identified the victim. It was my good friend Angelica. Ooh. Wow. I've had dreams like this since. It's difficult for me to remember the specifics, but they all end the same way. I suddenly wake up. I've taken note of the time. It usually happens around 3 a.m. Are these dreams, or could they be visitations? I also have periodic episodes of deja vu, and it's hard for me to believe these episodes are related, but it's difficult to ignore. They have been incidents while on duty. I'd be sound asleep, then wake up, and within moments, a tragic event would unfold. What's your theory, given what I've shared? Is it just a coincidence?
Mm. I wouldn't personally say it's just a coincidence. You should reach out to your fellow parajunkie, Ashley Werner, because it sounds like you both kind of had that claircognizant sort of abilities, where basically it's not necessarily prophetic dreams, but you are able to connect with the spirit world through dreams. So a lot of times, people who are sensitive to that, they kind of tend to be the first ones that the loved ones will reach out to when they pass. But it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility that your deja vu sort of incidents do coincide with that ability.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also probably worth mentioning that in an event where a spirit is able to make it to you, to communicate to you, to say their goodbyes, it's possible that they created a path, and that path is from another dimension, another place of existence, and that path can be utilized by other forces and other incidences. So it's likely that in that first instance, when your friend came to visit you, a door was opened and never closed, and then that gave you insight that is abnormal to most people.
I would agree with that, but it could have been that first instance too, where you weren't necessarily sensitive up into that point. But what I kind of like try to explain to people when we talk about clairabilities, pretty much everybody has some degree of clairabilities, but most people, as we get older, we put on different guards and armor, if you will, to protect ourselves from, things in day-to-day life. And some people are just more open to those abilities. So it could have been that this first experience, like you said, kind of opened that door, really opened up that abilities and unblocked it for you. And now it's kind of flooding in. And I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't have these abilities your whole life. You just weren't privy to it up until this point. But
all right,
that's kind of my take on it, at least.
Yeah,
it's really common for people to, have their first encounter with a loved one.
And yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes people just perceive spirits in different ways. And I find that a lot of times with spirits, they're going to come to you in a way that's actually going to get your attention. And so that's why, some people say, I have dreams where I have things come true and whatnot, but I've never seen a ghost or I've never heard a ghost. And I'm like, well, it's probably because they know that you're not going to acknowledge that certain form of connection, versus myself, they know I need somebody to kind of slap me in the face and stop me in my tracks for me to acknowledge them.
Right.
So, it's a little bit different for every single person.
All right. Thank you, the original Paramutant.
Yes.
That was very, very interesting, slightly frightening story. All right, here we go. Abigail, the next one comes from Abigail Wilsey. A couple spooky stories. Hey guys, I love the show and couldn't resist the opportunity to send a couple of terrifying stories I've experienced / been told over the years. To start, I've always been susceptible to spirits and energy. Most of my experience manifested in dreams or nightmares. My family owned property on a lake near Missouri / Arkansas border. During one of the one of our weekend visits to the lake, when I experienced the most disturbing nightmare I've ever had. Keep in mind, I was only 7 years old when it occurred. In my dream, I was lying in my bed, and my dream self was woken by a faint tapping on the window. You've experienced this, Madison. It grew louder and louder until the window finally shattered and I saw the strangest entity enter my room. It was a floating massive ram's head with piercing red eyes. The sight alone was menacing, but the energy this thing gave off felt so dark and heavy, like drowning in tar. Oof. Wow, poetic. It approached me and I blacked out, still in the dream. When I woke, I was sitting in the back seat of our family car and was forced to watch the ram murder both my sister and my mother in front of me.
Good Lord.
My father had made it to the car, and when I looked at him, his eyes and the eyes of the demon were the same. The second story I have for y'all is my husband's. My husband and I went to high school in a small town near Springfield, Missouri. Most of the Ozarks were inhabited by many Native American tribes in our area, and I believe it was the Osage tribe. I will go ahead and say, let's actually talk about the ram, because it looks like these are different stories.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think about the ram?
So I definitely think it's something in the realm of that catch-all of demonic entities, because a lot of times, you know, demonic entities present in different forms. There's a whole slew of different presentations that they can give. I am trying to think of one in particular that would have presented as a ram, but usually the energy that comes off with them does, you know, kind of lean into that side of just suppressing energy.
Yeah, there are several entities, and the ram's head is a long time image or icon for the devil. You know, it most certainly has the demonic resonance, and a lot of people, you know, if you go back far enough, you start to realize that as cultures advanced, they were realizing the practices of other cultures and start demonizing those and start saying that, you know, these pagan practices are evil, and sacrificing rams was a big part of early communions with God and communions. And as we move forward, we start to recognize that action, that decapitation of a ram or these things, or the ram's head, suddenly became symbolic of a relationship with the supernatural, or the relationship, you know, you certainly see it in a lot of art. You know, if you look up, again, to avoid names, if you look up pictures, you'll see many pictures, most famously of a ram-headed man sitting with his hands, one up and one down. That is classic demon imagery. And intriguingly enough, the concept of the ram bursting into your house, killing your family, and then seeing the ram's eyes in your father's eyes, almost
very disturbing.
Becomes this very disturbing tale of you know, fear and horror. So yeah, I could see where, just by imagery alone, you're dealing with something that your own mind is placing as demonic.
Sure.
You know, if you encounter something dark, we oftentimes mask over the darkness with our fears and with our imagery of fear. So that is, you know, someone coming into your house and doing damage. It could easily be a nightmare about a home invasion that you then ascribe to this evil thing that you recognize as the ram's head, you know, image. However, you know, you can't dismiss that it is a centuries old depiction of the devil.
Yeah.
But I do find it curious that you had this dream when you were seven, because I mean, at least I don't know what you were reading or watching when you were 7 years old, but most children aren't aware of iconography like that, or you know,
you can casually come by it because it's common.
True.
Enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's common enough to be like, what's that? Oh, it's the devil. You know,
yeah, you can see like a candle in a gas station type of deal.
Kind of, yeah. Not to discount that there's something strange going on. It's just we are hyper-perceptive and we don't realize it. We don't realize how influenced we are by the things we see. You know, you could literally be, you know, scrolling through the TV channel and seeing something for a brief flash or something to that effect.
Sure.
I remember there used to be a commercial on TV for, they did the Passion Play in Savannah, you know, the death Passion. And resurrection of Jesus. And the last frame of the commercial was a Roman centurion holding the bloody body of Christ.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you know, a pretty provocative picture, but it was just one of those things that just kind of passed by evenly. Well, my child was like 3 years old, so she was 3 years old, and it just lodged in her head that, you know, there was this superhero that had this bloody person. And she kept saying superhero. I don't want the superhero. I don't want to see the superhero. Don't show me the superhero. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, I tried to figure it out. And then finally, it was because VeggieTales, there's a superhero that Larry is.
Larry the cucumber,
and
yes.
He wears what looks like a Roman centurion helmet.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So yes.
Yeah.
She equated that helmet with being a superhero, and then the image of this Roman centurion holding a bloody body freaked her out so much, but she couldn't figure out what the story was by looking at it. So she was like, why is that superhero, you know, carrying a bloody person?
That's such an interesting, like, look into media and how things are made for kids and then things are made for not kids and how that can mix. That's actually really...
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, for the first time, I think my mind did not go to demonic at all, and y'all's did. Like, that, yes. That, like, you know, never happens. I went to Native American, like, immediately.
Oh, sure.
I was thinking Native American all day when it came to, like, the Ram's Head and all of that stuff. I didn't know if they were on, like, maybe land that they weren't supposed to be on or something like that.
Well, I mean, you can really go down a multitude of rabbit holes with that, because then you can get into, you know, if it is land that they're not supposed to be on, it could be, you know, a shaman's power animal or, you know, things of that nature, something, a defensive kind of entity that's there to protect the shaman or the people, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility, but at the same time, it does lean heavily into the imagery that we do see with demonic entities. But you never know. There are plenty of different entities out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no discounting
one
over the other. Absolutely.
So,
okay. That's what they called me in high school when I was playing dodgeball.
What?
Power animal.
Oh, good God. Lord.
Oh, yeah. I knocked him down. It's too early?
Oh, yeah. It's too early for
it's
that.
It's too early. Y'all
we're recording in the morning.
We're early on Sunday morning.
A little groany.
Yeah, it's been a long week, y'all, and JT's making it feel way longer right now.
I'm a morning person. They aren't.
No,
so,
yeah,
you know.
Not even a little.
All right, let's get on to the next one.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm gonna start it over. The second story I have for y'all is my husband's. My husband and I went to high school in a small town near Springfield, Missouri. Most of the Ozarks were inhabited by many Native American tribes. In our area, I believe it was the Osage tribe. My husband has always been a hunter, and one season, as he was minding his business in his tree stand, he observed something that still spooks him to this day. With his own eyes, he watched a coyote walk out of the tree line, stand on its back two legs, and cry for help in a human voice.
No.
You're mean, like, oh,
go
no.
on.
He said no. Oh, she asked, Skinwalker?
Mm.
That's the second one. So we.
You know, it sounds very Skinwalker-esque. I mean, you're right there.
You're right in the heart of it all. Yeah, absolutely.
So the coyote, like, I guess, screamed for help, like, in English is what it, like, sure. Help.
Right.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like a husky where it's like, rah, rah, rah.
Right. In a human voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I always see husky, but for some reason, I'm fed on my feeds, like, husky videos
just
nonstop.
Husky content.
And I watch them. So that's why they keep providing it all. And right. I'm not even I love all dogs, but, like, you know, huskies are.
Huskies make a crazy sound.
They do make
crazy. Coyotes make crazy sounds.
So that's what I was thinking.
There's a lot of sounds that could have been. And you know, depending on distance, depending on, you know, what kind of vocalizations it was making, why it was standing on two legs,
that's bizarre.
I don't want to venture a guess to. But it, yeah, that's strange. You know, we'll just put that right in the strange category.
Yeah, y'all remember, God, it reminded me of Antichrist, the movie.
Yes. Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, yeah. Lars von Trier right. directed it. And one of my favorite scenes in, like, any horror film ever is when the fox is like, chaos reigns.
Yeah. Right. JT quotes that frequently.
I do. Like, seriously, if I was like the lead singer of a metal van, I would literally get that tatted on my neck. Chaos reigns. That's so fire. Anyway, yes, chaos reigns. That's what that reminded me of because he says
good
it
album
in
cover.
Chaos reigns, chaos right? Reigns. Heck yeah.
But yeah. Well, if you're a musician, please feel free to take that one.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm like on the side of Skinwalker. I mean, that sounds sure. pretty like on par, considering that you're in the area mm-hmm. and the animal is behaving in a human-esque sort of way and the voice thing. Like,
you put all those elements together. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, you know, usually if an animal is making an odd noise, you can still decipher a lot of times. Like, that's still most likely an animal. It's weird to be able to say, like, it sounded like a human voice saying help. Because, like, you know, our schnauzer makes weird noises. Yeah, he goes, rah, 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 rah. But, like,
kind of like
I know
husky.
That no, he, a little bit. Yeah, he just, like, can't control the noises that come out of his mouth. So, you know. But
he
like,
gets so excited.
He does. But like the point being, the reason why I bring that up is like, I can hear that and know like, you're just an odd little thing. Like you're a weird little creature, but I've never once heard an animal make a weird noise and been like, that sounds human. Unless it's a skinwalker.
So what exactly is a skinwalker? I always get so. Is it a vampire? Is it a werewolf? Like, or is it fusion? Like, I always see different things about
them. It's kind of its own category.
It is its own category, and it kind of falls into the shape-shifting category. And I believe it is through shamanistic practice, the ability to assume an animal form through you know the rites of faith, but in the case of a skinwalker, there's a corruption that has happened, and so now you're dealing with a corrupted spiritual journey, and it creates a dangerous situation. I tend to think of them more further west than Missouri, mm-hmm. but the practice of a human taking on the qualities of an animal for whatever purpose is not, you know, unknown in all cultures. In all cultures, there has always been this this concept or construct of humans that can take on animal forms through dedication, practice, ritual, whatever. And in many cases, it is about finding some divine, mm-hmm. you know, good and communing with nature. But once it becomes pointed, once it becomes a dangerous thing. And you know, I know that there are people out there who are going to be like, don't say it. Don't say the name. Skinwalker is not the name. It is a several times translated and somewhat amalgam thing that we've come up with. And that's true of a lot of the words that we're like, don't say the word. It's like, well, it's not really the word. It's right. it you know, we're removed from the word. It is, however, very, very a volatile spirit, and it has gained far more reputation, more reputation than examination, I should say, because I'm not overly familiar with it. I know it as a glossed over term that we've kind of come, you know, relatively aware of as a society, especially, certainly in paranormal circles. So, you know, if there are Native Americans who could clarify, absolutely, please do.
For sure.
Because, like I said, that's my understanding of it. It's not, it's certainly not concrete.
Right. We don't focus heavily into those types of entities. We dabble in a lot of other things. But there's also just so much information to soak in when it comes to paranormal.
Sure.
It's, you and know, you'll never
be able
to. When
you're talking about, like, indigenous peoples,
right.
that's a whole and rich and wonderful, you know, tradition of many, 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 many separate and instant, you know, they're not, you can't put them all under the same, you know, umbrella. The Apache do not have the same as the Cherokee. The Osage do not have the same as, you know, the Chippewa. You know, the stories are not universal to the indigenous peoples. Each tribe experienced nature in their own way and honored it in their own way. And while there are, of course, similarities, there are drastic differences as well.
And it's also closed practices. So
yes,
there's a lot of information that if you're not a part of that tribe, you will never...
And probably nor should you.
Yeah,
you
know, get access to.
Whenever Madison and I go to Metaphysical Shop, which is actually quite often because of who she is, you know, I'm like going throughout at least several times when we're in the Metaphysical Shop and Madison's looking at like different stones and herbs and everything, I'm always grabbing something that's just not for me. Like I'll pick something up and I'm like, ooh, what is this? And Madison's like, put it down, it's not for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
But it looks cool.
But it does. Looks cool.
Well, JT likes, you know, things that are honestly, you should talk to a hoodoo practitioner because he loves stuff that are utilized for hoodoo practitioners, which is a closed practice, you know, and it's good to acknowledge and admire things from afar.
Sure.
It's just we are not the ones that are allowed to.
Right, right.
I mean, dabble with it, you know.
Appreciating the, you know, the art, and appreciating the construction and the craft, absolutely. And it becomes very tricky. I've known several shops in Savannah that closed down specifically because they were not interested in like tourist dollars. They were not interested in, you know, just looky loos who come in. It was like, no, we service a very specific, you know,
group
mm-hmm. and we provide them with things necessary for their rituals and for their worship.
Wow.
And people are coming in and buying them because, you know, they want to hang it from their rearview mirror or they want to, you know,
that is very true.
That became an issue. And it was one of those things that I thought was very interesting was that they didn't decide to just go full tourist, that they weren't like, all right, well, this is what we do now, so let me, you know, make a couple of candles and put a picture of Forrest Gump on it and call it a day. So, you know, much to their credit, they maintained the integrity of their faith.
Absolutely.
For sure. All right, here we go. Okay, last story for you guys. Thanks for following along this far. All right.
Still early in the morning.
About a year ago, I moved up to Alaska, where my husband is stationed. We live on Eielson Air Force Base, which has a long history of strange and mysterious deaths and incidents.
Ooh.
Ooh. Not long after I moved up here, we went out with a couple of buddies who still lived in the barracks. During the conversations, they referenced a woman named Tammy. When I asked who Tammy was, one of the airmen looked me dead in the eyes and said it was his sleep demon. Obviously, I had to know more. He proceeded to tell me that Tammy had appeared in his dreams for the past several months. She would stand in his closet and stare at him. Oh, God. Okay. Every night, she would open the closet door and come closer and closer with each passing night. He said that before bed, he would close the closet and lock it, even having some of his buddies try and tie the door shut. But every morning when he woke up, it was wide open. The dreams finally stopped when she got close enough to touch him, or so he told everyone. The guy still seems off, and I have a feeling Tammy got what she wanted in the end.
Don't mess with Tammy.
Okay.
How did he get the name Tammy? Does it say?
No. Okay. Thanks for reading. I hope these pass the qualifications for some good old ghost heroin.
Absolutely.
Indeed. I have so many questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're like, ghost we need heroin. To get like a stamp that's like an Love FDA that. Approved stamp. But like, yeah. It's like.
Shadonk, approved.
approved. Certified ghost heroin.
Mm-hmm. The street value of that is $1 million.
But. I feel like that is like very classic kind of succubus activity right there. And, you know, when you get into those types of entities, it can get a little shameful because of the types of attacks that they are classically known for. We've talked about a few succubi type encounters
indeed.
That people have had. And that's not to say that it is exactly that, because I mean, obviously we're getting like a very like small dose of what this person encountered, but you know, something that is constantly threatening you while you're sleeping, watching you in that way, actively trying to engage with you. That's a lot of times the beginning stages of an entity in that realm.
Sure.
And it what freaked me out about all of that was the ending when she said he still seems a little off.
Well,
or he seems a little
so
off.
There is
I'm
something,
like, bruh.
And it's funny because it was kind of portrayed in the Insidious movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you watch the Insidious movie, it's funny that we always go back to movies.
In
the Insidious movie, there was a woman, a dark woman in black. And it was getting closer and closer to the main character as he was a child. So his mother hired a medium to create some protection for him so that because it was getting closer and closer and closer, and if it touched him, it would possess him. That story is a watered-down version of a lot of accounts that what a spirit really needs is access to you. Physical access. If it touches you, then it can live in you like a parasite. It lives in that parasitic realm, which could be an entire manifestation, like a person being taken over completely by a spirit. And now the spirit is just like, you know, driving the body, or it could just be a passenger. Mm-hmm. The spirit enters your body and lives kind of vicariously through you, all the while feeding off of your energy. That sounds closer to it because of the abrupt stop of the dreams.
That's a good point.
By saying that the dreams stopped abruptly when it was close enough to touch suggests that it got what it wants.
Oh, yeah.
It got what it wanted. And that raises the question, what did it want? And I know we say this all the time, but a lot of spirits just want to be alive. You know, a lot of spirits just want the chance at life again. And very powerful and potent spirits kind of understand that the best way for them to be alive again is to inhabit the human form, the human body. That's how dolls get possessed. That's how these spirits are trying their best to assimilate a life, you know, to create a scenario in which they are alive again. And so, yeah, that almost sounds like the story of a possession of, you know, the early stages. And now this person may very well be possessed. And that might be a part of what you determine is off about him. you know, that thing that you feel might be off is that he's got a hitchhiker, you know, that he's got,
oh, yeah,
got a spirit on him. Or the worst case scenario is the spirit is in full control and he is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, the spirit has absorbed him and is now,
like, basically murdered him.
Basically. And, you know, feeding off of his memory so that it can carry out functions without being discovered.
Yeah, that sounds demonic.
Well, and we talk about that too, is a human absolutely can become what we term as demonic when they lose their empathy, when they lose their humanity.
Alex Myrtle.
That is a demon.
Yes.
And that's one of those clear signs, is like when you have abandoned your empathy, when you've abandoned everything in pursuit, and even if that pursuit was good at one time, even if you were a good person and you died and your spirit was here and you were like, I just got to be alive again. The moment you start to disregard humanity, you're a demonic presence. You now have all of the qualities of a demon. And I actually dare say a human is far more capable of evil than any demon is. Mm-hmm. Because demons are not human. That is something that has to come back around over and over again, which means that in their mind, they are not defying good to do what they do. They are doing what they do because that's who they are. That's what they are. Humans understand good and evil. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of humanity. If you go all the way back to the earlier stories, I mean, Adam and Eve, the tree of knowledge, blah, 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 the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. Once you know the difference between good and evil, you are capable of doing evil because you are denying good. So it becomes one of those issues that you really have to wrestle with, mm-hmm. is that we are designed with a capacity for good and evil. And we are far more evil than any demon, because a demon does not have a choice between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, you know, most celestial beings, as we understand them, don't have choices. They are what they are. We, on the other hand, given free will, as, you know, the grand experiment of existence, we can make these choices. And when we are spirits and we are choosing our desire over other people's welfare, what we want over the safety of others, what we want over the comfort of others, that is demonic.
All righty. We got one more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And let's see, this comes from Brandon Raplitz, and it includes a photo.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'll show you the photo after, or okay, if it mentions the photo in the story. All right. Hey, just wanted to see what y'all think about this. Was taken with no flash, and we looked back on the pictures and was just a little freaked out. There has been some weird stuff that happened on my property, and for a little backstory, there was a woman who was a vet that lived on my property a long time ago, and she went very depressed, ended up killing herself with horse tranquilizers. There has been multiple occasions where me and a few other family members have heard very dim old country music outside. Ooh, that's creepy. And also have smelt cigarettes, almost like someone was smoking in the house. My mom is actually seeing a old couple in our front yard, also very creepy. In our front yard only a couple of times, but enough to know that they are here. But one encounter, I don't know what that means, but one encounter that really sends chills down my spine is one night around 2 a.m. I was walking from one side of my property to go back inside and had this overwhelming feeling like someone was watching me, but didn't think anything of it. So I kept walking, and a few moments later, I hear something run up behind me. So I turned, I immediately turned my head to see what it is, and nothing was around me. It sounded like it stopped at least a foot behind as I turned my head. That was really the only scary encounter where something has tried scaring you or make themselves known like that. I just thought to share this with y'all and just see how y'all think about it. Also, I get really interested in y'all's videos and love all the stories sent from my iPhone. Thank you.
Yay, thank
all
you.
All right. Awesome, Brandon.
I'm sorry, and here's the missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch a place.
Yeah. It's his property, but I don't see. It's his property. But I don't think. Yeah, he didn't include a geographical location.
Okay.
But here's the photo, y'all. Let me go ahead and turn the brightness up for you. I'll put it on the YouTube. It looks like Florida. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I would reckon. You know, it does kind of look like Florida.
I actually guarantee it's Florida.
Florida's very haunted. Well, that either is Florida or South Carolina.
but the ghost in it, babe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. Okay. Interesting.
What are you thinking?
Well, your first instinct is to say lens flare.
Yeah.
Because there's a fire there. And
and the moon.
Trying to look at the shape of it versus any shape in the flames or it creates a weird sort of disconnect. And again, knowing where it is might help us because there are a variety of different types of things that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at it kind of has a lot of properties that, you know, make you go, ugh. So,
yeah. it definitely has that Spirit Halloween, ugh, like right. We've talked before.
Yeah.
It looks very, like, ghosty.
It definitely has ghost-like qualities. You kind of make out a face, you kind of make out shoulders, you kind of have this sensation of something there. And also, given its proximity from the ground.
Right.
You know, you're
it looks like the only thing that makes me say not a lens flare is that lens flares are usually like in a half moon shape, right? Because of how a lens is,
right.
You know, it bulges out slightly, or you know,
right.
The glass is rounded,
sure.
or
you can usually catch like
exactly
yeah.
Exactly, like the aperture ring, you know, helps with that. This is a circular thing, but this looks like a puff of smoke. That's the weird thing. Like if you, like, I almost wonder if it's, but it's not over the fire, so
well,
I don't know.
So thing is like everything else that you were describing that's happened on your property, besides the thing like running behind you and whatnot, that's just, that would help if we knew kind of where it was.
Yeah.
To maybe decipher exactly what particular type of entity that might have been. But the rest of the stuff, you know, the old country music, the cigarette smoke, that's all like very classic.
Old people in the front yard, is it night or day? Because I'll tell you right now, if it's night, I'm freaked out. Okay. Old people in the front yard at night is so scary for some reason to me. Like, why is that scary to me?
Well, because you love
why is that scary
the
to
concept
me?
Of like an old person standing there very still.
No,
like,
I know, but why is it in their front yard, like looking at your house at like 2 a.m.?
Well, so
why is that
thing.
Absolutely terrifying?
Well,
we need to put it in a movie.
Because anybody standing in your front yard at 2 a.m. is creepy.
But old right. people, and if they're naked, whoa.
But why are they standing naked?
No, I'll tell you right now. Naked old people, like ghostly, naked, gaunt old people are so scary.
You've watched The Visit too many times.
Yeah, bro, The Visit's
like,
scary, bro.
This is an intriguing thing is why are certain images scary? Why do zombies look the way they do and why do they freak us out? Old people, No offense to any old people out there.
We love old people.
We love old people.
Saggy.
But they're closer to death.
John.
They are closer to death. They represent the end of life. They represent the end of a journey. And so while, you know, daylight, happiness, sitting in a rocking chair, all that good stuff, you put them out of context. You put them, you know, in the middle of the night, standing, and for whatever reason, naked.
Well, just naked is like scary.
Well, naked is scary.
Any person is
standing out in front of your house at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's scary.
That's
fair. But the added, you know, because also children, very scary. They are also very closely linked to a time when things didn't exist. A child is very close to non-existence. They didn't exist just a short time ago. They came from the void. They came from the darkness. You know, they are closely related to what we would consider to be death, as are very old people. So you want that perfect midlife meat of life.
I think
standing in your yard naked.
I think media has definitely influenced my newfound fear of elderly people. Old people. I love old people. Everyone knows, like, not everyone knows. Everyone knows I love old people. No, but I do. They don't scare me at all in normal time, like in normal daytime. But if they're like The Visit is what I'm talking about. If you've seen The Visit, M. Night Shyamalan, The Visit.
Sure.
Oh my God.
That's
okay.
Just
that
freaky.
Is so scary where she's like running up and down the hall, scratching on the door. She's naked. It is freaky. And so that's definitely something that, that has made me kind of like get freaked out about that. But, have you seen The Grave Dancers? The eight films to die for, The Grave Dancers.
Yeah.
Do you remember the sadist, the old man who's the sadist and loves torturing the woman?
Yeah. Yes.
Yo, that made an impact on me because I was like, Grave Dancers is
designed spirits too.
Amazing.
If you ever get a chance to look at it, the designs, they're almost cartoony, but in the most horrific way. You know,
they were scary.
They did some amazing alterations to physical form, which again is something that really freaks us out, you know, to see the alterations of physical form, such as aging. Aging does alter your physical form. So does, you know, being young. You're like, you're going to stretch out of that. That's weird. You know,
it's true.
But yeah, just to clarify, love old people.
Yes.
You know, it's just in certain situations, like about anything. I mean, like, you know,
true.
20-year-old guy could be scary in certain situations.
Absolutely.
But the point that I was trying to make before we got into this tangent on old people was that a lot of the accounts that you're referring to are residual. So, you know, like the music and the cigarette smoke, those are very classic residual hauntings.
Yes. Right.
You know, considering that, like you were saying, is that people have lived on this property before you. And so, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the old people you're seeing didn't live there at one point. It could have been them. If it was Florida, I could even more so see, you know, that being the case with the country music and the cigarettes
and
all
singing?
That.
I want to know what songs and stuff, because then it's like...
Well, if it's
and
old
narrow
country...
narrow it down.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And if you were going to investigate that, would you play something similar? Would you play the same song? Like if it's Conway Twitty, you playing Conway Twitty's greatest hits out loud and seeing if anything responds?
The thing with residual hauntings, though, is there's no intelligence behind it.
Well, just in case it's intelligent.
Sure.
Someone's been on the radio.
And we talked about this before, because residual hauntings are kind of anchor points, and you could coax a spirit through their anchor point. Because there's some reason why it's there. It's residual for a reason. It exists there for a reason. However, you don't always want whatever it was that that left behind the residual mark, because the residual mark is suggesting a heightened moment of a repetitive moment or a heightened moment of emotional distress or elation even. So that you had a former owner who had taken their own life on the property, that is always going to have a shockwave effect on a location.
Absolutely. And especially because of how traumatic the actual situation was. That's like number one way to create a residual haunting, for sure.
Absolutely.
So definitely though, send us the location of where you are. We don't have to share it on the podcast, but just for our own curiosity's sake, I would love to know so I could dig a little bit deeper into some of the other things that you had mentioned. But with that, though, y'all, we do need to start wrapping things up. So thank you so much for sending in your ghost mail. If you have a ghost story, please send it to us, and we will read it on our ghost mail segment. You can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.